Thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Psychic, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the Skeptic Psychic. Hey, everybody. Welcome again to the Skeptic Psychic, where we kind of delving into to topics. A little nod today for our guests due to the fact that we're going to be separating the geedunk from the scuttlebutt. How are you doing, Kim? A wonderful, sweet, and wonderful sister of mine.
I am doing pretty good. Had a very busy day. Woke up at 5:37. I'm starting to trail off now, but we do have a wonderful guest. And she's joined us in the past, and now she's back to talk about her new book. We have with us Miss Tina Irwin. And she's a retired U.S. Navy commander, psychic, and lifelong student of metaphysics with a master's in business and management. She has over 20 years of experience serving in the submarine force and has gained profound insight into human behavior, karma, and the unseen world. She is the author of 8 books on metaphysics, including the Crossing Over Prayer Book, the Lightworkers Guide series, and the Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View trilogy.
Now, I understand she's got a new book out.
I do. It's my 9th book.
9th book?
Yeah. Wow. It is the Psychic Children, Psychic People, the Key to Understanding and Protecting Intuitives. Because when you have psychic ability, everybody wants a little protection.
Right. And plus also the fact of not only do you want it for the things that happen beyond the veil, but you also want it from the real world as well, you know, being.
Yes. There's a lot of things you can do that protects you just in a business meeting with people whose energy is toxic for you. So yeah, this book carries has 70 different case studies so that you can get an understanding that these situations are real. They're happening to people all over the world. And, you know, there's some things you can do about it.
Right. So just getting a little brief history, what made you decide to join the Navy, especially being in this, the Submariner vessel?
That part of it, it's the 70s, so I joined the Navy to find a husband. And I met my husband my first day at my first duty station, and 52 years later, we're still, you know, married. And it's the Vietnam era, and women were having to fight for equal pay, and everything was a fight, and I didn't want to spend the rest of my life fighting. That just seemed like a waste of energy. And Congress said they had to pay you as much as a guy. So if I could do the job, then they would have to pay me the same. And then I could focus on doing a better job, because I'm not constantly feeling like the world is against me, which is a terrible place to be. And as it turned out, I ended up marrying a submariner, and the submarine force detailer, meaning they tell you where you're going to go next. We were stationed together for 20 years because I had to do a very, very good job at my job to enable me to be enough of an asset. It's like sugar or copper futures. You know, what's your value? If you don't present a value, there's no point in them working for you. And apparently I did a pretty good job. So I got to, we were stationed together for, you know, 20 years. It worked out really well.
Managing pork bellies is all the same, pretty much.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what's your value? Why are they spending time on you? And what do you have to offer? So I understood that. That's just a fact of life. And it's not because somebody was against me. It was because, you know, what is your performance that's going to make a difference? So I did have some extraordinarily unique skills that apparently were very valuable to them.
So when did you first realize that you were psychic, and how did that unfold as a child and a teenager?
I realized, you have to remember that when, as you guys well know, when you have psychic ability, you don't know that everybody doesn't have that. You think you're normal. So I didn't think anything of it. And when I was a really little kid, I mean, I have dreams and situations that I remember from the time I was 4 or 5. So those things were very real to me, but I didn't know that's what this was, a psychic thing. When I was 8, my Siamese died and I could see her ghost and she followed me around. My mother didn't believe me. And I didn't know what to do with her. I didn't know how to help her. Then when I was in high school, you know, I had some things happen in high school. And then I was traveling when I was in college. I was an exchange student in South America. And I was in a car that was about to go over a cliff in Medellin, Colombia. And we were high in the Andes, driving back at night in the rain on a one-lane road down these curves, and the driver was drunk. So my terror was, you know, pretty much over the top. And you know, and it's a Latin country. And at that time, you really, women didn't speak up. You had to remember to observe the customs. And I heard a voice in my head tell me to stop the car because I wasn't supposed to die tonight. You know, stop the car. You're not supposed to die tonight. You have so much to do. Do something now. And I started screaming because I was fluent in Spanish, to stop the car. You know, there were 8 of us in this Jeep. We got out of the car and they had a flat tire. And no one realized, because they didn't feel well, that the tire was flat. I took one look at that tire and knew that there weren't too many more curves that we were going to be going right over the edge, because there's no guardrails. I mean, it's just a sheer drop. And the guy I was dating took over driving, and he had not had anything to drink. So we made it back into the city. But there were, and then when I met my husband, it was like somebody opened a door and all these abilities started to tumble out. And things started to happen that I didn't know could be real, like possession. I had an attempted possession. I could see, I had situations where I could see the future. I had, I was having dinner with a, you know, a fellow lieutenant in Italy, and I looked in the corner and there's a man standing there, and he's in a World War II fedora and a trench coat. And I knew he was dead. I knew he was a ghost. And I said to her, do you know that there's a ghost in your corner? And she said, I didn't know how she was going to react to this. So she says, you can see him. He's been with me all my life. He's my companion. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is the ghost in Mrs. Muir come to life.
Right.
And she never married. He was with her. I think she's still living, but, and she had a wonderful military career, and he was always with her. And he explained to me through ghost telepathy that they were going to be together forever. And so she earned karma and the ghost earned karma. And I didn't know how to cross people over during that time. And like in 1977, I didn't know how you did that. And I didn't know what to do with him. And he wasn't hurting me. And he was technically not hurting her, but he earned karma. Because when you're a ghost, you continue to earn karma. That clock keeps ticking. Because right. You're influencing the living. And when you think about a ghost, people don't think that karma, the karmic clock, continues to tick. Mm-hmm. So she will have to have a life without him so she can experience whether she wants to be in love or have children or whatever. But he heavily influenced her decision. So anyway, it was just one thing after the other. So that's how it came about. And I realized that I either learned how to deal with this and study, you know, everything I could get my hands on, or spend the rest of my life afraid. And, you know, I didn't want to be afraid all my life. I wanted to understand the physics behind what was happening. So that's a little bit of a background.
Now, there is a question, because with, you know, realizing that you are psychic, you are intuitive, what are the key signs that you've noticed when children might or might not be psychic or intuitive?
The one of the key signs is the child is looking at something and talking to someone that you can't see. I had a woman in South Carolina call me, and she had twin psychic 4-year-old boys. And they could see really dark things. She and her husband were fighting all the time, and the children were seeing these ghosts, and a lot of the things they saw were really dark and evil. And she just didn't have a clue what to do with them. And I felt that there has to be more than just saying, oh, you know, they'll grow out of it. You still have to live through every day with your 4-year-old screaming that this ghost in the kitchen wants you to give him breakfast. Or, this man is hungry, mommy. Why aren't you giving him breakfast? He wants to have breakfast with me. You have to come up with an answer to that. Mm-hmm. And your child isn't crazy. And there have been many cases where people want to put that kid on drugs. So that's why this book about psychic children who become psychic adults was written. Sometimes it fades. Sometimes it doesn't. It lasts your life.
How can parents tell whether it's just an imaginary friend the child has created, or if it is spirits that the children are talking to? Like, what are the key signs?
That's the biggest question people have. Are they just making it up for attention? And a child doesn't know that you can't see that person. So if you say, well, can you describe what you're seeing? And you get a logbook out and you keep a record, and they give you this description. And then if you say, well, you know what, we're going to help that person, usually the child is thrilled to death. And so you say the crossing over prayer, and then you say, now what? Tell me what you see. Tell me what's happening. And that child will tell you that the angel took them to heaven. And that means that, and then the child goes back to playing with Legos. And you go back to making supper. I mean, it's just, sometimes it can be, if you reduce it to the simplest, gentlest, kindest level, you don't make a big deal out of it. And I've been able to get the dads involved, because a lot of times the husband or the father is just not embracing the situation. So you can ask them to do an experiment and use the crossing over prayer. And then what happens is, what I work toward is getting the parents and the children to become teams, spiritual teams, and they develop signals. Mom, there's somebody here. You know, you whisper in the corner, the mom plays the prayer on their phone, or they read it, and then the child gives them a thumbs up. The ghost is gone. And one man say that he and his brother's room was haunted. They knew it was haunted. This man is in his 50s. He said, I knew my house was haunted as a child because it was freezing cold. My mother refused to go in my room, but she expected my brother and I to sleep in that room. And there's a lot of anger that you hear from people that they were not believed, and they still use that ability a little bit, but they don't tell anybody because they were so hurt that their parent didn't believe them. Because if your child has never lied to you, why do you think all of a sudden they've become a pathological liar?
Right.
Right.
Those are some ideas.
Yes. That's one thing that we were blessed for growing up, is even though our dad didn't believe much, our mother also experienced things. So she always believed us if we ever said we saw something or heard something or had a dream. She was always very quick to believe us because she knew what it was like to grow up without it.
The one that, like I said, had that mental journal where she was like, okay, describe what you're saying. What exactly does he look like or she look like? Tell me, have they said anything nasty to you? Which is always a big surprise. I mean, our mother was very open to it, and because she, the way we handled it, it was more of an open thing, and she knew when we were lying and when we weren't when it came to stuff like this.
It's a good mom. I mean, I feel like that's a really good mother. And one of the really fun elements is if you ask the child, what is the person wearing? Because a lot of times they're seeing a ghost from another century, 400 or 500 years ago, and their clothing is a tip off. And it was such a huge tip off that it helped the parent understand that what the child was seeing was real, because you couldn't make up those outfits, those clothing. You know, she's wearing long, long skirts. And sometimes when a ghost contacts you in the sleep state, it's so real that you find yourself just, you know, just like you guys did, that is this real? It was so real in the dream. And it may very well have been real that you were trying to help this person. And I mean, that's why for psychic children, I have parents keep the crossing over prayer next to the bed. So if someone comes toward a child in the sleep state, they literally, the prayer crosses them over. And then we also do something called the use of the soul train. This is a great tool for children, and I have adults use it. But you picture a train, can be the one from, you know, the Northern Express or the
SP, our family is a generation of working for the Southern Pacific Railroad. Three generations.
Yes.
All right. So you visualize any kind of a train. And then you have angels that, you know, organize the train. And then you tell the ghost, the train's stopping here tonight. It's the soul train. Get on board. They'll take care of you. And a lot of times dead children will find a person because they just want help, or they don't know they are dead, or they died in the accident and they can't find their parents. And there's a desperation. Can you imagine if it was your child, when you want someone to really reach out and help that child? I think when we take away the scary and the fearful, we just, you know, we find our heart of compassion.
Definitely. I mean, to me, a train or a boat will actually kind of reach to a child, because transportation for any little kid, from a male or female, really excites them. That, hey, you know, there's going to be a train to pick you up tonight. Do you want to get on board the train? And that would be this sort of the psychic link to entice the child or adult, you know, that wants to cross over, instead of saying, look, there'll be a light. That to me kind of makes a lot more sense, as opposed to, you know, look towards the light situation. Because,
well, you're making it, when you're dealing with I have a client in Austin, Texas, with a 10-year-old granddaughter who she has custody. And this little girl was just literally driven crazy because the mother's a drug addict. And every time the mother would visit, she'd bring all these dead drug addicts dead alcoholic. It was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. You can't tell the mother she can't visit, but you have an untenable situation. Mm-hmm. Once you put the soul train in effect and the child drew the pictures and then she drew the angels, now this lives within the psyche of the child. The child is empowered. She's 10 years old. She can do the prayer by herself. She tells these ghosts to, you know, get on board the train. She doesn't ask them. She doesn't give them an option. She tells them. She takes all her power back. She sleeps in her own bed. The grandmother started getting her first night's sleep in years. When once they started this achingly simple process. Free. It doesn't cost anything.
I could picture my grandfather, who was an engineer, actually being the engineer of this ghost type train, where he's like, you know,
going beyond
the veil.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's how are you helping?
Right.
You do write about indigo and crystalline children. How are they different from other psychic children?
I don't think they are. I think they're labels that are given to children. And I kind of steer away from the labels, because the whole goal is to bring this down to a normalcy. It's a new normal that you're adapting to, because your child can, I mean, and one of the things that this psychic kids book does is it identifies all the different kinds of psychic ability, from animal telepaths to kids with telekinetic ability to people who see ghosts or hear them or sense them or smell them. The range is staggering. Some children can remote view at the age of 7 in real time, anywhere on the planet. You're the parent. Oh my gosh, can this really be real? Yes, all that can be real. But at the end of the day, you're still the mom or the dad. This is your child. You still have to go to sleep. You still have to go to work. The kid has to go to school. And you have to go have some elements of normalcy. So the procedures that you put in place that are routine, comfortable, not scary, and you don't make a big deal out of it. If you had a math or a science or a music prodigy, you would get a teacher, you would train, but you still have to do the ordinariness of life. That keeps all the family members grounded, because you have other children who may not have that ability. All of a sudden, your family dynamic, that whole family constellation, becomes out of balance. Your job as the parent is to keep that gentle balance in place so that the other family members aren't jealous or resentful.
Right. Why do you think certain kids, or all kids, might be a magnetism for the spirit world?
Because the veil is thin. There are some children who remember past lives, and there's a lot of publicity about this, where you have a child will say, in my past life, I died in a plane crash, or I jumped off this bridge, or when I was born, I died. I was a stillbirth. I mean, can you imagine a 3-year-old telling you?
Or I've been to the village before type of thing.
So they remember it before. So they come in and that veil is not down. They can still remember. They can still see things. They don't necessarily understand what they're seeing. So they expect you to explain it. But since it's new for you, what do you do? Now, if you were a person who did have psychic ability as a child or as a young adult, then you might have some frame of reference. But if you were punished for it, which so many people are, then you're really reluctant to acknowledge that it's happening to your child. And sometimes abilities skip a generation. Mm-hmm. So again, it's to bring this down to earth and make what seems extraordinary part of your ordinary world, so that if this person's ability expands, and that can happen because we don't know what that person's spiritual mission is on earth. I certainly didn't know. And I thought I was going to have a computer company when I retired from the Navy. I wrote software. It was a blast. But that didn't work out. But this somehow did. So I can, I had to get the message. I was a little stubborn at first because writing software really was a lot of fun. But that's not what I was supposed to do. So I paid attention. And what I've found is that there's a great deal of service that needs to be done to help anyone with psychic ability understand whatever it is that they can do, how to do it professionally without ego, without being taken advantage of, and without abusing it. And that's a huge issue. The abuse of psychic
Yes.
ability is truly unfortunate.
No, I definitely agree with that. That's one thing I've always been very adamant about is the responsibility when you're dealing with anything spiritual or psychic, or you see these people that are go on these like ghost hunts and they're like speaking very rudely to the spirits. And I'm like, how would you like for somebody to come into your home and talk to you that way? It's like there's got to be some kind of respect and responsibility that goes into all of this. And that's why I've kind of held back into getting into it myself, because I don't feel like I have the knowledge to go out there and start communicating with spirits and that sort of thing. So I just kind of stay back and hope to get out there someday, but I want to be properly prepared before I do that. And definitely go with people who know what they're doing instead of just go off on my own and start talking to spirits.
Well, I think that's a very wise view of it. Because when you start studying all that is metaphysics, which is the physics beyond what you think you know. Okay, so there's so much out there we're still learning about. I mean, the most recent discovery of what's happened under the Giza Plateau is pretty staggering in its intensity, because that none of those structures were ever tombs. I don't know where the people got that idea, but they were not tombs, and there's no hieroglyphs inside them, because I have been inside the Great Pyramid and there's no drawings on the walls. What you
Yeah,
find.
well, I've heard that there is basically graffiti from different people that have gone inside of there, all the way going back
No,
to
there was no
ancient
graffiti
Latin.
in the great. There was no graffiti in the Great Pyramid. Where there was graffiti was in the Ramses tomb. The Ramses
Okay.
tomb is a mile underground, and there was graffiti from the time of Plato.
Oh, wow.
I to this day, it was ancient Greek graffiti. So yes, you're correct. And I got to see that. We were in the Valley of the Queens. And we were in the Ramses tomb, which is a mile underground. And the entire structure, 360 degrees, with this geometrically perfect shaft that goes on a perfect angle all the way underground for a mile,
Gosh.
there was so much art. And then there was ancient, 2 or 3,000 year old graffiti on these walls. And we're in the base of the tomb, talk about psychic things happening. And I'm telling my husband, get a picture of this, get a picture of this. I'm not coming back. Get a picture of this. And he says, there's a brand new Nikon camera right out of, this was in 1978. And it was factory, right out of the factory. And we're taking pictures and we're taking, and Troy says, the camera doesn't work. And I said, this is no time for levity. I am not coming back to Egypt. This is it. Get the picture. And he says to me, what about the camera doesn't work? Don't you get?
That's what you tell the spirits. Hey, I need this picture. I'm not coming back. Leave the
And so we had friends and they shared their photographs with us. So we returned the camera to Nikon. And All of the factory seals were in place. Nikon sent us a long letter. They said, this is one for the textbooks. All the factory seals were perfectly in place. When we broke the seals and opened it, sand poured out.
Wow.
We're replacing it, no questions asked. So obviously, I wasn't supposed to take those pictures. We took four cameras. Every single camera broke.
Oh my goodness, that's some heavily guarded graffiti there.
I don't know why somebody didn't want me to do that, but it happened to me another time too. So I realized that sometimes the team that, I guess I'm just some sort of an earthly asset. And if they don't want me to do something, they find a way to make that known. And I just need to pay a lot of attention.
Yes.
Now, going into basically the tools, healings, and guidance versus dark energies and raising your psychic child into knowing these things, what do you recommend for starters?
Well, for starters, get the Crossing Over Prayer book and the Psychic Children book. The very first thing to do is to raise the frequency of your home. Raise the frequency of your surroundings and take a hard look at your relationships and make sure that they are grounded, stable, and happy. If they're not, do what you need to do to make it happy, because the lower your frequency, the more vulnerable you are to dark intelligences. That is an absolute fact. The higher your frequency, then the harder you are for them. When I worked for the submarine force, I designed equipment that protected submarines from terrorist attack. The number one lessons that I learned, because one of my advisors was the head of SEAL Team 6, and he sat me down because he thought I was kind of dumb. And it worked for me because he just told me all these things that I needed to know because I didn't know what I didn't know. And he said, you have to harden the target. If the target is super hard, they'll pick a softer target. Oh my gosh, what a genius concept. If you are a psychic person, you have to harden yourself as a target. Because if you don't, you're bombarded, or you are an empath. You're just going to be bombarded and it just makes your life miserable. You don't have to live like that. You have to raise your frequency. I wrote a book, Karma and Frequency, that tells you how to do that. There's another wonderful book written by David Hawkins called Power Versus Force, which is an astonishing book on raising frequency. The Psychic Children book has all of these tools to additionally tell you how to raise your frequency. And it also shows you the things not to do. If you do some of these things, you are guaranteed to have some dark things happen to you. And if you take those things out of your life, then you're starting the process of raising your frequency. I personally use a lot of different radionic devices some of them I wear. I have things all over my home, heavily, heavily feng shuied so that the frequency is as high as possible. And what it does is it gives you layers and layers and layers of security. I mean, if you're going to protect a $1 billion submarine, you can't put a few lights up and think you're okay. You have to have layer after layer after layer of protection. It's like going out in the winter in Wisconsin naked. If you just wear underwear, you're still going to freeze to death. So all of those layers of protection make a difference. They're going to pick a harder target. Am I answering your question?
Yes, you are. I appreciate that.
What do you do if a spirit doesn't want to cross over?
When I'm present, they have no choice. And when you say the crossing over prayer, they have no choice. There is and I saw somebody else talk about this recently. You have to have an authority in your voice. if you say please cross over, it's like, I'm not going to do that. Not going to happen. And if you order them to leave because you're afraid, not going to happen. When you say the crossing over prayer with authority in your voice, or let's say you don't remember the crossing over prayer, you don't have it with you. You encounter a ghost and you say to the ghost, I hereby request an angel to cross this person over right now. Done. Your authority trumps the ghost's authority every single time. It doesn't matter whether they have unfinished business or they don't want to cross over. It's irrelevant. They're impacting the living. I've had ghosts jump in my car and cause accidents. I can't tolerate that. I was going down the five freeway south to San Diego. And everybody's doing 80, 85, and a ghost jumps in my car. I could actually see him in the passenger seat. I had to eject him while driving. This is insane. And I'm not the only one who can see this or have this happen. Mm-hmm. So you have to take a very firm stance, firm countenance, and I hereby request an archangel to take this ghost and anyone nearby, cross them over right now. Because there's no time in the fourth dimension. When you say right now, you are indicating that this action is to take place instantly. Because the whole goal is to put you in charge, not anybody else. The ghost is not in charge, especially if they're impacting you. Because you're stopping the negative karma they're creating because they're impacting you.
Totally.
Yes.
My gosh, I enjoy having this conversation with you. It does kind of open up a lot of the possible questions that I have, as well as answers that I did not expect.
Okay. I mean, I love my job. I really love my job. And, you know, when I get to have a conversation and you're asking these questions, you get to help me do my job.
That's amazing.
Right. If you could give advice or one message to a parent of a psychic child who feels scared, misunderstood, confused, or even thinking that they're not normal, what would you want them to hear?
I would want them to hear that normal is a relative word and to just kind of pitch it. Your child is your child. Love your child. That's the very first thing. Believe in your child is the second thing. Use logic to deal with the situation. If you had something that was harassing you, you would find all the logical remedies. There are remedies out there. There are things you can do to help your child in the sleep state. And I detail those, including the use of salt, green light bulbs, layers of help for your child that you two can do together. Believe your child, take action, believe in the process. And above all, if you haven't established it, establish it. If you have it, expand it. And that is a connection directly to God. And if you're comfortable with a connection to Jesus, that's fantastic. If you're a person who thinks you don't really know what that's real, get over it. It is real. You need a connection to the divine because you're requesting divine help on a constant basis. And the more you connect to God, the higher you raise your frequency. If there was any simple solution or quick solution, that would be it.
It's interesting because I know that they say, like, even when you're going through the 12-step program for whether it be drugs or alcohol or any kind of addiction, one of the main things they say is to believe in a higher power. And so I guess that's kind of the same thing here, where it's like, in order to have that authority and to you have to connect with that higher power and believe that there is God and Jesus out there, something bigger than us. Because if you don't believe in anything, then I guess that would put you into that lower frequency where you would have to worry about things that you don't want. Would that be correct?
Well, that's a really good question, and here's why. The irony is people who may not believe in a higher power know for sure that there is evil. And they can't see it, but by God, they can feel it. It's the yin yang thing. It's the light and dark. If you believe in evil, that because we've seen it, we've seen people do heinous acts. There's a story recently about this guy who murdered his parents and then stole the car. And, you know, he lived in the house with his murdered family for 2 weeks.
Oh, goodness.
There's so much darkness with that. When you go back and study all the ancient traditions, the native belief of the original people all believed in a connection to God. They all did. And that connection put them in balance with nature. They believed in the higher power. They believed in respect for nature and everything around them to keep it in balance. That's the whole point of feng shui. So did Native American, Chinese, and Egyptian feng shui. It's all about balance. The Hopi have a word, Koryaanisqatsi, which is world out of balance, which we kind of feel like is happening right now.
Exactly.
When you embrace a higher power, you're never alone. I mean, if you have psychic ability, you should be able to feel that there are angels with you. You should be able to feel you have a team that helps you when you need it or warns you. You're building a relationship with your own subconscious and your higher self. All those relationships connect you through that whole divine path. And I don't use the word, you know, I connect to spirit. I connect to God or I remove a ghost. I just change the vocabulary a little bit to be slightly more specific. That helps me when I'm speaking to someone so they know what I'm talking about.
Yes, that's really, really beautiful. I've always believed that. I mean, I can remember being a kid and Richard, when we were kids, we'd sit up on Friday night, stay up late, and he would tell me Bible stories. And he had a way of describing the Bible so that in layman terms, so that anybody could understand the stories. But I remember sitting there in the living room listening to him, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can feel Jesus in the room with us. He's right over there in the corner. I can just feel his presence over there. And that's one of my favorite stories that I like to tell people, because like you said, of having that firm belief in something bigger than us and
a higher power.
Yes.
Basically. I mean, I've got to the point at 53 years of age is that Jesus, my big brother, you may laugh about that, but to me, it's like, you know, if his father is Heavenly Father, and he's the son, and I'm the son, so why can't Jesus be my big brother?
Works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep.
When Jesus walked, but think about it. When Jesus walked the earth, he was the oldest son, and he had all these brothers and sisters, and then one of the, nothing was written about his work for 200 years after his death. 200 years. The apostles didn't write anything down. They didn't write anything down. So all of these gospels were written far later than people realize. There are the Jesus papyrus, where the documents that he lived, that papyrus piece is this big. It's a tiny piece. They did find a tomb, and it was James, brother of Jesus. So, mm-hmm. Yes, we are the sisters and the brothers of Christ. It's an honor. It is a beautiful thing. And a lot of times, one of the things that alienates many people in the New Age are the Christians who separate, quote, the New Age from Christianity. Mm-hmm. But there cannot be a separation. If you don't have to go to a building of wood and stone to believe in Christ, you don't have to use the Christian script to believe in Christ. And I don't know if you know what I mean by the Christian script, but
I do.
Right. Yes.
Go ahead. Explain to our listeners exactly what the Christian script is.
I had this conversation with someone recently, and she said, well, you're not Christian. And I said, what does that mean? She said, well, and she spouted the Christian script is the same script in every church, in at least in the United States and probably Canada, where, you know, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I don't believe that at all. I believe Jesus came to show that there's life everlasting, and the resurrection says that we live after death, and that his death on the cross was to mitigate a large karmic potential problem, not to die for sins that people hadn't committed, and that we're all sinners, we were born sinners, and we're going to die sinners. That is part of that script that I find I have a lot of problems with that, because Jesus died on the cross for reasons we may not be fully conscious of or aware of. We were born with karma, and we die with karma. But the message of Jesus was that God loves every one of us and welcomes us home. I've had conversations with that said, well, you know, my church says I was born in sin, I died in sin, and Jesus won't love me. It's like, oh my gosh. How could this be so misinterpreted? Jesus came to preach the lessons of love, of compassion, of forgiveness. I've had people tell me that God could never forgive them. And I feel that that is a separation from God, not an embracing of divine love. Mm-hmm. When you're offering a ghost divine love by crossing them over, that is an enormous act of compassion and love. I cross over murderers, not because I love murderers, but because they just go right back to the lower astral and they're going to come back and do it again. And if you study the Bible and you study the 23rd Psalm and you listen carefully to what it says, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What is that? If that's not the fourth dimension.
God comforts me. Yeah.
Does, and so then when you say, you know, his rod and staff comfort me and he restoreth my soul. I'm sorry. Whoa. Stop the presses. When you cross over, God restores your soul. But if you stay in the darkness, it's like parts of you are shaved off. That's where we get serial killers. They are born. When you cross over that serial killer stops haunting the dead. They stop haunting the living. And they don't reincarnate as a murderer. They move into the higher realms. They earned the karma of their action that has to be resolved. So beyond my pay grade, thank goodness. But when you think about that, that makes much more sense than he died on the cross for sins that we may or may not ever commit. I'm sorry, I got on my soapbox.
Not a problem.
That's okay. I'm with you. Very much so when it comes to that. And that's exactly what I've always believed. You know, Jesus may have died on the cross for your sins, but he was teaching the existential message of love, understanding, and forgiveness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yes.
So if you're helping a ghost, you know, bringing this full circle, if you're faced with a ghost, maybe the ghost was from 400 years ago, has no clue they're dead. They don't know you can see them. You can sense or feel them, and they're impacting you, but they don't even know you exist because they're stuck in that time warp right before they died. That's a really interesting concept. So if you have the ability to simply cross them over, they may not understand what happened, but believe me, they're really grateful.
Right.
Yes.
Well, Tina, it's been great talking to you again. And I look forward to any more new information or a new book, and exciting just to talk, sit back and talk to you and get into understanding your perspective as well as on how to hopefully save the next generation. So where can we find your book?
You can find all 9 of them on Amazon. They're all audiobooks, and they are Kindle books, and Amazon has them, and you can find them on ghosthelpers.com because that has an Amazon link as well. So hopefully if you have a psychic child and you're hearing this podcast, then maybe this will be of enormous help to you in knowing how to help them in a great way.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
You're always a wonderful wisdom.
Yes. I have another friend that she's actually working with parents of empathic and psychic children. So I'm definitely going to send her your way so she can read more about it and see how she can help them as well. And where can people find us?
They can find us on skepticpsychic.com. They can also find our, we're on Facebook at Skeptic Psychic. Also, we do have a Discord on Skeptic Psychic. Go ahead, come aboard, introduce yourself, and we'll be expecting you. And I won't go into the Love Boat theme song.
Oh, man. Well, Tina, again, thank you so much for joining us again, and hope you have a wonderful evening, and hopefully we can have you on again soon.
All right. Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.